What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is May 22nd. It's a very special day for me. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. My gosh, I just want to say that Halliburton bounce last night was the most ridiculous bounce I've seen since Spud Webb at the slam dunk contest. Oh my gosh, that was something else. All right, but Gavin Williams, speaking of bouncing, this was bouncing back. Because his cutter is his number two pitch, finally, guys. It finally happened. He threw more cutters than sliders or sweepers and curveballs. And he went six innings, one run, two walks, and six Ks. And the thing is, it's 22% usage, only a 59% strike rate. And you go, Nick, that shouldn't be that great. Well, it's not supposed to be the greatest pitch ever. It's supposed to be something that is a little bit more reliable and in the zone or around it than the fastball, right? It just needs to be different. And this was at 91 in change with the four-seamer then going 10 over 53 whiffs with a 36% CSW. And the curveball wasn't a strike pitch. And having this near 60% strikes, beautiful. I really do want to see 60, 65%. But this is why I've been so in on it. And I'm just so happy he finally did it. So he gets the Dodgers next. I'm not a fan of that. But then really after that, Gavin Williams should be good. And just look for those cutters to be there again moving forward. Kevin Gausman, seven innings of zero runs against the Padres. This is awesome. And what's really cool is that all of a sudden we got 13 over 46 whiffs on that splitter for Kevin Gausman. He mentioned that he had to double check his finger placement. And I totally get that. There are times that as a pitcher, your fingers want to move around a little bit differently. It's strange. You don't always just go back to the same place every time. He said he changed it a little bit and really showed. Seven innings of shutout ball with nine strikeouts, three hits, zero walks, and 19 whiffs. That's great. Do it again. I'm not really going to say he is fully back, but I really hope you're just not a hipster anymore. This could be the turning point for him. I would love that. I would be so, so thrilled. I've been so down on Gausman. There was even a discussion about Gausman versus Giolito, and it felt so clear to me it was Giolito because Gausman's been in this purgatory for over a year now, year and a half. And if this really is it, because this is how it would happen, 13 whiffs on splitters. If he doesn't have essentially a 25% swing strike rate on his splitter, Kevin Gausman is not Kevin Gausman. It's just that simple. Brent Herter opened in this bullpen game for the Tigers. Who cares? Same with Daniel Lynch. And I miss Reagans and Lugo there. You've also done the IL. That's why the Tigers did that. Max Meyer had a really good game against the Cubs. Six innings, one run, five hits, one walk, and four strikeouts. 95 on the four seamers, fine. The slider and changeup actually weren't major factors. It was kind of interesting. They both had some moments, but then they also were kind of inconsistent at some really bad ones. I'm not really super in on this. 0 for 12 sweeper whiffs is strange. He didn't have 96 in the fastball, 95. He gets the Padres next. But then he gets Rocky Road after. I don't feel like I have to be holding on to Max Meyer at the moment. I don't feel this is the ultra-dominant one that I got really excited about early in the year. Dustin May was better, though. Got the win against the Snecks, which is really cool. Arizona couldn't handle this. Six innings of one run, five hits, one walk, and eight strikeouts. Strikeouts from Dustin May. 14 whiffs, 32% CSW. Now, instead of him at 93.8, we did see 95, which is cool for Dustin May. A tick does matter. And what is most interesting is that Dustin May finally threw four seamers and cutters in this. 15 thrown between them, which is roughly like 17-18% usage between them. And guess what? 6 out of 15 whiffs. Oh, yes. Thank you. Keep throwing that cutter and four seamer. Four on the four seamer, two on the cutter. Love it. Now, it's not the best schedule, unfortunately, and I do want to mention that it's very possible that Dustin May's next start against the Guardians do not show up, right? Like, the cutter and the four-seamer could just be like, hey, cool, this is here for a moment, and then it's gone the next one. So I think I'm in for the next one. Hopefully that Dustin May does this, and this is one of the things I did mention at the beginning of the year is that Dustin May finally has a runway so that he can make adjustments and get better as the season goes on. So he's never had a season above 10 starts. Hopefully this is the turning point again for Dustin May. Can't tell you if it is or not, but he deserved to be good in this one. And that's a huge deal in his situation. I'm back on the May train for a moment. Let's see what happens. You have Cade Horton against the Giants. They came through in a stream here, 5.1 innings and one run, six hits, three walks and three Ks, kind of a dusty donut, because really just got the ERA for the whip, but fine, it works enough. And Jack Miller here at PitcherList compared Horton to a right-handed version of Justin Steele, which I actually like a lot because it is a slider and curve that are kind of meshing. And then you also have a fastball that has cut action to it and can have a variety. So I'm a huge fan of this moving forward with Cade Horton. It was actually just not a good fastball for once. He was at 96. And I feel that this should be something that we keep going forward with Rocky Road and Natty Light ahead for Cade Horton. So I was very out on Cade Horton before this season, and I'm so happy to see that his shoulder injury is in the past, and he has a better four-seamer than I was giving him credit because it was like 94, and I didn't realize the cut action was as effective as it is. You have Garrett Crochet against the New York Mets. 5-1 winnings, 1 run, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. What's interesting about this was not that I did this with Dellin Betances and the Kid Mero, which is insane. I did the stream with them on the Kid Mero's playback. It was so fun. I told Dellin the story about allowing a home run to him. If you haven't heard that story, come ask me on the stream about it. You can also see me talk about it on YouTube. There's a YouTube short with David Cohn talking about that story. But I got to tell him to his face, and he remembered it, and it was dope, and it was so much fun, and I look forward to doing more streams with Dellin in the future. I hope that they'll bring me back for it. But watching this, we saw Garrett Crochet have one whiff on 28 four-seamers, and 60% of the Mets hits, 3 of the hits of the 5 that he allowed were off the four-seamer. And I just want to mention, it was at 6.6 extension on that four-seamer. There's something weird about it. I'm not saying that he's not a stud. Like, he's top 10. It's just he's not top 3. And there's something about that that is why I'm saying I worry about him long-term here for the season. That's all. We have Tyler McGill on the other side. 4.2 innings of 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts. So cool. The four-seamer was, and really sinker too, were really spotted well. Not really upstairs with the four-seamer, but he did a really good job of just not putting it down the middle of the plate, working the edges well. The slider and curve were kind of weird, though. And it was a harder slider that had a lot less drop to it suddenly. Yeah, it's a little strange. I'm happy we got the value in Fenway, though. Even though it was 4.2 innings, he would have gotten a King Cole at 39% CSW. He gets the White Sox next. We're obviously going to do that. Ryan Yarbrough got that King Cole. Actually, I apologize. Oh, he had a 43% CSW in 5 innings with 8 strikeouts. What? We're not going to lean into this. Insane. Gets the gold star. Amazing. We move on. Andrew Heaney got the Reds carpet and he did well. That's cool. And we drop for the next stream moving forward. Like, this is not a guy you want to go for. Chad Patrick, 4.2 innings of 7 Ks and 1 run. And he actually had that game of cutters and four-seamers getting whiffs. So 16 whiffs total and 14 on those two pitches. 27 foul balls, though. That's insane. And that's why he was knocked out of the game in under 5 innings. It's kind of interesting. Everything was upstairs, and that's why you have the four-seamer and the cutter aren't too different. And because of that, you have these foul balls instead of... And what I think about with a ton of foul balls is either they take away from one side. They take away from either balls in play or from whiffs. And whatever is the majority of what the guy does, it takes away. Even though Chad Patrick had 16 whiffs, I think those foul balls took away from balls in play. Because that's traditionally what he does. And I think because of the foul balls, then it opened the door for more whiffs later. Just more deeper counts and everything like that. So that's why you saw that explosion of strikeouts and whiffs, because it prevented the balls in play, those foul balls. Okay? You get the Red Sox next anyway. You're not going to do that. Jacob deGrom, 20 whiffs in the Bronx in 7 innings and 9 Ks. Oh my gosh, he is so cool. And he actually flirted with 98 sitting in this one. It's like 97.7 or something. Oh, he's just getting more gas and more, not more gas, more... in rhythm and just cruising, and it's just so good. It's near the end of May and DeGrom is just fine. Everyone's like, you're gonna get 40 innings out of this. I'm like, no, you're not. It's a healthy elbow. Changeup also has 6 for 13 whiffs against lefties. So lovely stuff there from DeGrom. Tomoyuki. Oh my god, I always do that. Tomoyuki. I wanted to say Tomiyuko. Okay. Sugano against the Brewers, 6 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. Splitters are so well spotted down and away to lefties. Sweepers are so well spotted down and away to righties. It's really cool. He gets the Cardinals and White Sox next. I'm going to keep rolling with this as a Toby. Taj Bradley did well against the Astros. It was the most in control, but also chaotic. What I mean by that, it was only 2 walks and a lot of things were over the plate, but he is not he's not clicked in or anything. It's just the hipster being a hipster, where he's headache inducing because he can't have good starts like this of 200 runs, six innings, and 7 Ks against the Astros. Chris Paddock had a rough one ish. Dusty Donut. 5.1 innings, 200 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. So he only got that 2 runs, really. No wins. It was a loss here. He got singled out a bit. It's so interesting. This was against the Guardians, and Chris Paddock going high four-seamers and low split changeups to lefties all day. Like, he did the thing he wanted to do, barely faced any righties, and this is the result. And I think that really showcases, like, Chris Paddock does not demand success on a given night. He can not get singled out and have a promising outing, but only 2 strikeouts, even though it was exactly the ideal situation for him. And that is why I just don't really love going after Chris Paddock. Brady Singer went against the Pirates and 5 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 4 walks, and 3 strikeouts, 1 over 29 slider whiffs. And he's just not having that slider for a while, and that should really scare you. He does get the Royals and Brewers, so fine, we're going to keep doing it, but I think this is not going to be a fun summer for Singer if the slider is just continuing to fail. This was the Pirates, man. Like, you got to be better than that. Randy Vasquez went 4.2 innings of 200 runs, 4 base runners, and 4 Ks. I mean, that's cool, but that's kind of what he does. He's like, okay, let's have you survive 3 whiffs and 73 pitches. That's Randy, whatever. We do need to talk about Andre Pallante and Corbin Burns from yesterday's game. Very interesting stuff. We're going to go with those guys. We're going to talk about them and everybody else after this break. Corbin Burns, 7 innings, 300 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. He was cruising in this. He allowed a 3-run shot to Teoscar Hernandez that 2 outs in the 6th inning. And what's interesting here is that Corbin Burns went out of his way to say, I'm not going to get the drop back from last year. Like, I've moved on from that pitch. I'm like, well, that's just stupid. I don't like that. And I will say he did locate it pretty well here, especially inside to lefties. 75% strike rate, 30% CSW. That's good. It's not the 36% CSW from old. Remember that. He was the winner of King Cole so many times because of that cutter. It's at 30% CSW now, right? But the curve went 9 for 23 whiffs. The sinker, change, and slider all had strikes. Like, not the greatest locations, but at least he's looked better in what he has recently, and that's really good. I'm still worried about the long term of this, because this is like him at his peak in the moment, which is great. Cool. 8 Ks, 7 innings. Absolutely. Against the Dodgers. But it feels as if it's not a plateau. That's all I'm getting at. Andre Pallante against the Tigers. He's throwing harder. It's 95.3 now. I remember in the spring, I was really worried. I actually began the season too at 92, 93. Now that cut fastball is at 95 plus, which is really good. It's a weak contact pitch against lefties. And then righties, we do see sinkers inside and then sliders away. And I do like the pitch separation, but this was the Tigers and not the time to really start him. He's a streaming option. And I think that's okay. Eno and I talked about him in the craft yesterday. Shane Smith, 5 innings, 300 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. Kind of bad weather, so we saw under 94 in this one. And I was hoping he would sit 95. His kick change can still be filthy, 8 over 26 whiffs. But then it's also non-competitive a lot as well. I feel like it's just still development. And he's so funny of like going back and forth inside of a game. Like, he doesn't have a full game of dominance, but he doesn't have a full game of a floor either, Shane Smith. And we just keep rolling with it until hopefully it clicks in a massive way. Tywin Walker got a win in Coors. Happy for him. Everything else was bad. Logan Webb just got singled out against the Royals. I mean, really, it's just one of those days. 10 hits. I don't think he deserved that in 4 innings. So we move on. Jack Connaughts is the jack of all trade. And I love the fact that he's throwing low sinkers because he has a ton of drop on him. And he didn't get enough chases to justify the 34% zone rate. So it goes. He should be going the neckbeard approach as much as possible. The changeup was so hittable. So many strikes, but just like way in the zone to lefties. That returned a pair of home runs, and the slider and the four-seamer didn't really do much to cover for the sinker. So, we're not going to go with the jack of one trade at all. You have Logan Evans against the White Sox. Got 7 Ks before it runs in 6 innings, 6 hits, 1 walk. We have 2 home runs in the 4th that allowed for 3 earned runs. And you have a massive lean into secondaries with Logan Evans, which is kind of cool because just 25% usage of four-seamers and sinkers. I think that could be really good, but you have a good cutter and a sweeper going against right-handers for Logan Evans. That might be interesting with Natty Light, but this was the White Sox, but hey, 7K, so maybe that does translate there. You have Hunter Brown having a really rough one, and also Joe Ryan. And I put Joe Ryan last because it was not really a game from yesterday, but really the Monday suspended game. It was a bullpen game otherwise, so I didn't even mention that one. But you probably didn't even get credit for this. And we just kind of move on and forget about it. It was 5 innings, 3 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. So those runs were in relief a bit. I didn't even mention that. But it was just pretty much like 91, 92. It was an off day because of the weather and stuff too. It's just the whole thing. Joe Ryan, just ignore it, whatever. And it's kind of too bad that this is the kind of game that you get. You get wasted a start, really, for Joe Ryan. You have J.P. Sears against the Angels, 5 innings of 6 runs. It's interesting. He was having such a good run. Everyone won respect for Sears. It was Giants and then Angels, and he's had 2 really bad games now. And it's just, the man is a double bubble. You have it in your mouth, and it seems really sweet. And all of a sudden, like, you're wondering why you're still chewing on this. You have Carson Palmquist against the Phillies. Not very good, unfortunately, in Coors and with the Rockies. If he was not with the Rockies, I would actually be kind of interested in him. He's a cool lefty, but no, you don't really want to go for him whatsoever. In Hunter Brown, 5 earned runs, 5 innings of 7 hits, 2 walks and 4 Ks, and 0 over 34 whiffs on everything but fastballs. Changeups, curves, and sliders, 0 of them got a whiff. And I think that's a bit of the problems I've had with Hunter Brown. I'm not saying that like, oh yeah, this is it, sky's falling, haha, I'm right. I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is if this doesn't continue, this is what it looks like. And it's just one game. We're obviously going to continue this with Hunter Brown. It is the reason why I've been out, though, a bit. He's down to 96. He's not 97 plus on the four-seamer either. It's just not the perfect thing of Hunter Brown that we've seen in the past. That's really it. And he just didn't have strikes with his four-seamer. Like, the four-seamer is the one that's really carried everything. And having a, 53% strike rate on this? Like, you can't have that. So it was a day off. Fine. We just keep going with Hunter Brown and we hope for the best. But this is why I haven't given him aces going to ace, because I feel that it's too reliant on that four seamer in a way that the four seamer shouldn't be as good as it is. And if I saw that he had a really good secondary with it, then I would be like, oh yeah, but it doesn't matter because of that. Even like Cole Reagans, for example, I actually have some weird, like, the four seamer is really good, but it's not a Zach Wheeler four seamer, but it's because he has the changeup. And the changeup is so elite with Cole Reagans that, like, that's okay. Hunter Brown doesn't really have that secondary. The sinker is the one that really pairs off with that four-seamer. Cool, but it's not the same. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. My name is Nick Pollock. Make sure you watch the Yankee stream at 12:30 with me and Randy Wilkins in like 5 minutes. I'm doing this live right now. With Randy Wilkins watching Yankees together. Randy Wilkins, the director of ESPN's The Captain, and of course the host of the Views from 314 Feet podcast. Can't wait to watch this Yankee game with him today. But that is it. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABs be low and your strikeouts high.